Head to Dillon Brothers and save thousands on new 2016 Harley-Davidson touring bikes while they last. 0.99% rates available with approved credit.
Dillon Brothers. Grab your freedom. Come on, let's ride.
This music teases me. Pretty bad. All right. Reed Forgrave. Now with CBSSports.com. Good to catch up with this guy. Reed, congrats on the new landing spot, CBS. Good for you, man. Congrats.
Thank you, Nicholas Allen.
I appreciate that.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a good landing spot for you. I think you're going to do I think it feels like a good fit. Like, what is it, just college basketball? Are you doing anything more? Yeah. Like, what are you going to be doing?
College hoops. NBA draft will be kind of like the bread and butter, but I think there's going to be a little bit of NBA. I just started there a month ago, so I
right trying to figure
right
it out right
with the finals. But you know, I'm in a big NBA city right now up here in Minneapolis.
There we
go, up and coming team. So it only makes sense, right?
What do you think? Like the whole Lonzo, LeVar, like where do you fall on everything that's because we've heard some different. It could be a smoke screen. But there's been a lot of rumors now that hey, you know, the Lakers may not take Lonzo, they may look elsewhere. What are you hearing? What do you see there?
Do you want to hear my crazy steaming hot take
Yes.
on LeVar Ball?
Of course I do.
I think there's this subtext when everyone's talking about LeVar Ball. The subtext is he's a bad father. That's the subtext I got from, you know, my former FS1 colleague, Christine Leahy, mm-hmm. when they had their controversial moment. That's the subtext I get in all of this. I think he's the opposite. I think he's a great dad. He's a dad who's married to his college sweetheart. He's raised three, you know, as of now, very successful and respectful young men. He's about to have one millionaire. He may have two. I get that he's brash and annoying and bombastic and says some, like, obnoxious things, but I don't think he's a bad dad. The other question is he a problem for an NBA franchise? And the answer is, I don't know. I think he could be, like, the franchise that I think he could be the biggest problem for is the franchise that he wants his son to go to, and that's the L.A. Lakers.
Right.
Because, you know, if you go out to Boston, if Lonzo's playing for the Celtics, it's not like LeVar can raise his other two sons and do his AAU stuff and do his UCLA stuff when his while he's hanging out in Boston with his son. Like, he kind of has to choose. So to me, it would be good for Lonzo's career if he is able to cut the cord. But I think when it comes down to it, the Lakers take him, even though my newest mock draft posted later today has a surprise number two pick.
Ooh, okay.
I think ultimately Lonzo Ball ends up going to the Lakers.
You know, my thing, Reed, with when people talk about, like, are NBA teams concerned with LeVar Ball and all that stuff, like, I think the big concern is the fact that I don't think any of the big entities, ESPN, Fox, you know, whether it's Undisputed, First Take, they're not showing any signs of wanting to slow down talking to him. And I think as long as there is this thirst and desire from the media outlets to continue to talk to him, I think he's going to continue to say inflammatory things, Reed, because you know how the game goes. Skip and Shannon or Stephen A. and Max are going to have him on, and they're going to try and poke and prod and get him to say the crazy inflammatory thing. So I think, like, this idea that LeVar is just going to go away, I think is some of that's misguided, because I think the desire for the media to talk to him is not going to go away. Therefore, he's not going to go away.
You know, welcome to the 2017 media climate.
Right.
It's amazing that Lonzo is as underspoken as he is.
Yeah.
I don't know his mom, but I'm guessing she might be more of the quiet, pensive
you would think
because
so.
He clearly got it from somewhere. Yeah, you're right. LeVar is going to be on TV and saying crazy things for as long as we in the media want him to, and we're going to keep wanting him to.
Yep.
Because I don't know about you, but I click on every story that has LeVar Ball in the headline.
I hate that I do it, but I do it. Right.
It ain't my vegetables, but I like dessert, man. And LeVar Ball is he's dessert. He's a Kardashian, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you know, as much as we want to rip on what the Kardashians stand for, fame for fame's sake.
Yep.
LeVar Ball has produced something. He's produced three kids, and these kids, at least the oldest one, and from what I hear, the youngest one as well, are phenomenal basketball players. Yeah. And from what I hear, pretty great young men. So I don't know. Look, he's going to be a headache for whichever team selects him. But I'm not sure if the headache is big enough to pass on a talent like Lonzo Ball, who was, you know, the most fun player on the most fun team in college basketball last season.
Right. I mean, shoot, they went from, what, 15 wins to, like, 30 wins because of Lonzo.
Oh, he was unreal.
So, yeah, he was great.
Unreal. And like, you know what? Like, is he, like, Markelle Fultz is, you know, the better offensive player, but Lonzo Ball is a winner. He makes everyone around him, you know, they're kind of polar opposites in a way. Like, Fultz is great, don't get me wrong, but he needs the ball, a bit of a ball hog, bit of a stat guy. I get that he was playing for a terrible team, so there weren't many options, but Lonzo's the complete opposite. Like, his usage rate is so low for a guy who was as productive as he was last year. Yeah. So I think he is a straight-up winner, and I think ultimately he's going to be selected on that, not on who his father is.
Reed Forgrave is my guest, CBSSports.com. Okay, so let's get to the news of yesterday, the Louisville situation, the punishment handed down. You have 5-game suspension for Patino, vacating wins from you know, a 3 or 4 year period, including the 2013 national championship. Recruiting restrictions, you're going to have loss of TV money, all that stuff. There's really kind of no precedent set on how to punish stripper sex parties for recruits, so it's hard to figure
I'm glad that there's no precedent,
this is good.
Being really big
We got a bunch of, you know, we did this with this. Yeah, it'd be hard. But, like, so because there's no precedent, it's hard to kind of judge if the NCAA got it right yesterday. Did they? What do you think?
I've heard takes that are all over the board from Dickie V saying, they were so hard on Patino suspending him for 5 games, whatever. And I've heard other people say, as I wrote yesterday for CBS, that this is the harshest NCAA decision since SMU football in the 1980s. I think that's what it is. Like, if you take away the vacating of 4 years of basketball games, basically erasing them from history, which is a little bit silly, just on its face. But if you take that away, this was a slap on the wrist. 5-game suspension for Patino. They accept all the self-imposed sanctions, knock him down a scholarship a year for the next 4 years, put him on probation. All that stuff is just kind of like whatever to me. But tearing down a banner, which is what it sounds like the NCAA wants to do, has never happened before in college basketball. It's happened once in college football when they took away the BCS title from USC in 2004. How quaint that seems at this point, that Reggie Bush took money from an agent and it cost them to tear down a banner. And now we're talking about hookers, man.
Yeah.
We're talking about hookers. There is no precedent. To me, look, I look at this as like the NCAA had to come down because they've been maligned as a toothless organization the past several years. They've screwed up, you know, all sorts of investigations, none bigger than I think the Miami investigation from several years ago. They had to make a statement because this was such a sensational story. Recruits, you know, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids being pressured into strippers and hookers.
Yes.
Like, there's no precedent for this. Thank God.
Right.
My question is, and what this story comes down to, maybe not in the NCAA's eyes, but in my eyes, is the moral question. Did Rick Pitino know? There's nothing in these charges that indicates that he did know. I've had coaches be all over the board on this, say that there's no way that he didn't know because coaches know everything about what's going on their team.
Right.
I've heard the other one, too, that there's no way that he did know. Why would he put his legacy at risk for something so idiotic? So, to me, that's what matters. Did Pitino really know? And I don't think we're ever going to know if he knew unless we hear from Andre McGee, who, by the way, his career's over. Doesn't seem to be much
10-year show cause. Yeah,
to stay quiet.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I think Reed Forgrave, CBS Sports. So I want to get into to Rick Pitino's reaction yesterday. So for me, I believe he knew, but even if he didn't, that's not necessarily good either because he's supposed to know. Like, he's in charge of everything. So I just laugh sometimes. These coaches preach accountability and all those and no excuses, all this stuff. I didn't see a guy that was wanting to be accountable and you know, take responsibility for what took place on under his watch with recruits on his campus, on visits to potentially commit to his school. How did his reaction land to you?
It was indignant. It had to be, unless he just kind of like says, "Yeah, that's fine. The tattoo on my back that I got from the, you know, 2013 national title, I'm going to erase that too, since this is erased from history." Like, if he was just accepting it all, being like, okay, whatever, then he never would have done that.
No,
he had to be indignant. But to me, look, I disagree, man. I think there is a really big difference between knowing and not knowing. Like, I guess it shows a little bit that there's a, you know, if he didn't know, that he was, you know, at fault. But like, to me, what's worse? You're, kid is caught smoking pot at age 14 and you didn't know because he was going off with his buddies and doing it, or you went and bought a bunch of pot for your 14-year-olds and gave it to him and started smoking it with him, and that's when he got caught. Like, there's a big difference there, and that's the difference I see with Patino. It matters to me if he knew or not. I don't think it matters in the NCAA's eyes. That's why they gave him the failure to monitor charge. That basically says, you let this dude get out of control, and, you know, whether you knew or didn't know, the buck stops there. And I get that. The buck does stop there. If, you know, if President, not to make it a political thing, but if right. President Trump knew of the Russia investigation, that's a lot more damning than if, I'm sorry, knew of the obstruction with Russia and encouraged it. That's a lot more damning than it have happened, you know, without his knowledge by people in his campaign. I think there's a difference there, and I think we should recognize that.
Okay, I want to talk Ohio State real quick. I want to first start with Thad Matta, because, you know, Reed, it's weird, like, when people talk about, like, a year ago, people said, okay, Nick, give me some great coaches in your estimation. I don't think Thad would have been top of mind for me, but then you look at his resume and what he's done at Ohio State, and you go, boy, he's a guy that deserves a little bit more love. Like, do you think Thad was underappreciated a little bit?
Absolutely. I think in the coaching profession, he was very, very respected. He was on his way to a Hall of Fame career not that long ago, before Ohio State kind of lost their mojo. And I pretty much relate this all back to his health problems, you know, major, major health problems that were, you know, maybe not life-threatening, but certainly quality of life-threatening, like major back issues for Thad. And he's, what, 48 years old? He's not old. And there's been a lot of negative recruiting going on because of that. Schools that can say, hey, you sure you want to go to Ohio State? You know, Thad's probably going to retire because of those back issues, which sucks, but that's
sure, but that's just the reality.
Yes, I think among fans, he was hugely underappreciated. I thought it was very unfair the way that he was ushered out. And yet, it makes sense. Like, why? It's not like Ohio State was going to be better this year. That recruiting class is pretty miserable. They've clearly fallen off ever since Aaron Kraft left. And, I think they just thought it was time to make a change. So even though it was unfair,
yeah.
At the same time, I think it kind of makes sense.
Do you think Holtman's a good fit?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Holtman's a great fit. Like, what a wild ride. He was coaching at Gardner-Webb, came over to Butler a few years ago as an assistant, and was given one of the hardest spots in college basketball, where he's taken over for a coach in Brandon Miller, who after 1 year when he struggled, went missing, just completely, I don't know if it was a nervous breakdown or what, it's kind of a mystery even in college basketball circles, but he
right.
just, in the July recruiting circuit, he just was nowhere to be found. And Holtman takes over in October, finds phenomenal success in 3 years at Butler. Last year, he recruited at a very high level for a school like Butler. It's going to be interesting to see if he can recruit the level of recruits, because he's stepping up a tier in the Big Ten basketball. But Ohio State's a brand. Ohio State, they don't have the best facilities, but they're not bad. And you got a lot of basketball in Ohio and in surrounding states. So, look, I think Holtman's a great pick. I don't think he's going to have the same success that Thad Matta had
right.
in his first several years at Ohio State. But who would? You know, Thad was, like I said, he was on his way to a Hall of Fame career at one point before things fell off the past few years.
Reed, I got to ask one more question before I let you run. If there's been a lot of discussion because of what Adam Silver said about revisiting the age limit, one and done, what to do with college basketball and the NBA, do you have a plan that you would like, a structure, a policy in place that you think would best serve both entities, the NBA and college basketball?
I mean, look, I think the obvious answer is
do what baseball does, or some version of what baseball does, which is like, hey, if you want to go out of high school, if you're that good or you think you're that good, go for it. If you're Carl Anthony Towns, go for it. Don't go play for free for a year just because you feel that you're forced to. But if you go to college, you got to stay for, you know, I think for the NBA, you should stay for 2 years. You'll see the D League, I believe, over the next several years really start to develop into a viable minor league. It's going to hurt college basketball, no doubt. If you just look at where college basketball, what it used to be even 10 years ago, 20
yeah,
years
right.
ago, 30
it's
years
a ton.
Ago, it's different now, and it's, I think those elite players, less and less, are going to be going to college. So college hoops is going to have a trying time in the next few years because of this, but why force players who are at age 18 and good enough to go to the NBA to go play for free? It feels kind of un-American, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I'm with you. I'm totally with you. It'll be interesting to see what ultimately gets decided in the next couple of years. Reed Forgrave, CBSSports.com. Reed, great to catch up with you. Great stuff today. Have a great weekend.
See you later, Nicholas Allen.
You got it. Reed Forgrave, good dude right there. Good dude, good conversation. Hit on a handful of things there. We're up against the clock, so we got to take a break. But that was good. Yeah, you know, I think one of the more interesting things is, what does college basketball look like in 10 years, 15 years? All right, Matt Schick's going to stop by in a little over 10 minutes. We're up of the hour. We come back.